Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's weekly personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. I am your host Preeti Kulkarni and today we'll focus once again on the topic that continues to attract a lot of attention, the Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India's product regulations and specifically the surrender charges rules that have come into effect from April 1st, 2024. Now, the IRDAI has decided to maintain status quo. That is, it has scrapped its December 2023 proposal that would have ensured higher surrender values or payout on early or premature exit to endowment policyholders. Independent financial experts and advisors have panned the move, terming it anti-policyholder. Life insurers, however, argue that given that life insurance is a long-term contract that offers secure returns, they have to buy long-term papers and enter into forward rate agreements. Therefore, if the policyholder decides to terminate the policy prematurely, insurers will have to face asset liability management issues. Besides, persisting policyholders, that is, the ones who stay on, will also have to be content with lower returns. To know more about the factors that influence their opposition to lower surrender charges proposal, we have with us today Kamlesh Rao, MD and CEO of Aditya Birla Sun Life Insurance.
Welcome to the show, Mr. Rao. It's great to have you on Simply Save once again.
Thank you. Thank you, Preeti. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So if we could start with IRDAI's product regulations, that's been in news all along. So if you could talk about your first thoughts on these product regulations and, of course, specifically surrender charges provisions.
You know, this is occupied top of mind for a lot of people, and we also made some representation to the regulator. I'll give you a perspective. I mean, we firmly believe that when you make investments, different product categories take care of different requirements. I mean, you want very high liquidity, you are in CASA, you want a slightly better interest rate, you start doing short-term fixed deposits. What does insurance essentially do? And I'll give you an example of any product. So you want to buy annuity. Now, when you want to plan for your annuity, you're basically saying, I will create some corpus after for my retirement. So maybe you start at 45, you start creating that corpus for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and then your annuity starts from 60th year onwards or your 61st year onwards. So basically, insurance as a product category will be able to take care of your long-term requirements for a reasonably long period of time. It's like saying, you have locked into a rate. When I tell you annuity, I will tell you that definitely from age 61 till you live, I will pay you so much every year and on a guaranteed basis. And depending on who is offering you that product, the rates could vary from whatever, 5.5%, 6.5% as per today. And you've locked it for your rest of your life. Now, in that product, if you think that surrender value should also be high, it's the, you know, dichotomy there. Because when I want to ensure you the kind of returns that you want for the next 40 years, assuming from 60, you hopefully live till about 100 these days. So for 40 years, if I have to assure you that, I have to invest in 30-year paper, 40-year paper, 50-year paper. You will keep investing your premiums over 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, but I have to guarantee you a rate today for the next period of 40 years. So I buy FRAs, which are basically interest rate protection instrument for life insurance companies. Now, you come back after 3 years and say, give me my money back. For me, my investment has been in 40, 50 years, and you come and ask back your money in 3 years. So for me, there is huge asset liability mismatch. For me, I have to reverse the FRAs because I bought FRAs for you. I'm just saying as an example. So I have to reverse the FRA and there will be an MTM loss and so on and so forth. And we've been only telling the regulator that, you know, what is the principle of an insurance investment? That your maturity values that you get should be very good. And that's what we invest for. Now, if I have to return a person's money in 2 years, if I have to return a person's money in 3 years, then I have to also invest in 2 year and 3 year instruments. If I do 2 and 3 year instruments, then I am as good as a fixed deposit. And that option you have already as a as an instrument available, right? So if you want money and you want money back over a 2-year, 3-year period, maybe insurance investment may not be the right choice. And therefore, they are constructed to make sure that the maturity value becomes higher. Now, the argument is, I didn't understand the product well. You know, when you sold to me, I don't know whether all the contours were explained to me correctly or properly and so on and so forth. And I think there's a point. But then the question is not of surrender value. technically, if you've not understood the product and you give me 50,000 rupees premium, you should take 50,000 rupees back, because you don't want to consume that product in the first place at all. And we told the regulator the same thing, that if somebody has not understood the product, we can make the process better, and some of it will come as regulations and guidelines to say, for example, we do everything on video verification, because video is a great method to know whether what you have bought, you have understood well or not. So we ask people, rather than doing the telephone calling that used to happen in the past, that you bought this, have you understood it or no? Because on a telephone, you don't know the facial expression of the guy. But whereas in the video verification that we do, we are able to see the facial expression of the guy as he is reading what he has understood that he has bought. And basis that, I am able to make sure that he has bought the right product. If in the facial expressions I feel there is a lack of understanding that this person has had, then I have an alternate method to again reach out to the customer, again be sure whether you bought the right product or no. Then we'll have to bring in measures to say, you can't sell a 10 premium paying term to a guy at 60. You can't have senior citizens buying a 10 premium paying product, right? Because there is no source of income. How will he pay for 10 years period of time? Now, if some of these product constructs you are able to bring in tight, and if you make sure if mis-selling has happened or the understanding is not right, you have a mechanism to be able to give the entire amount of money back. The only point I'm making, Preet, to your point is to say, on surrender, I'm not inherently created insurance for a high surrender value in the initial years because I plan all my investments for 30, 40, 50 years.
Just one point. Would this also be, would you be buying a 40-year paper for, let's say, an endowment policy with a 7-year premium payment term and then the payouts start immediately? Would you have to buy such long-term papers for such policies as well, or only for annuities and other long-term
my
products?
My purchase of GSEC policies is based on my policy term and not on my premium paying term. Okay. So the FRAs that I buy, which is the hedging, is for the premium paying term, because you are going to pay me 50,000 rupees for 10 years. But I am telling you that from 11th year onwards, you will get so-and-so benefit. That benefit you are getting is for your 50,000 that you are paying every year for 10 years, and then your benefit is starting. But today's interest rate is different. Next year's interest rate will be different. The fifth year's interest rate will be different. But I have already guaranteed you your return for from year 11 onwards. So I buy FRAs for the premium paying term, but if your policy after 10 years, I have to pay you benefits for 30 years, then I have to buy a 30-year paper, because I am buying a investment instrument to match your policy term, and I buy FRAs to match your premium paying term. So that's the fundamental difference. And if it is a guarantee product, I have to buy FRAs because I can't carry the reinvestment risk on my books. Because in fixed deposit, if you invest for 1 year, next year your rate will change, you will get a low rate of fixed deposit. But in the insurance product, you may pay premium over 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, but your benefit that you start getting after either 7 years, 10 years, 12 years, whatever you decide to do, I have guaranteed you when you paid your first premium and not when you paid all your premiums. So that is the reason I need to buy FRAs for the premium paying term.
And you already touched upon mis-selling, because, but could there have been a middle path? I mean, for example, you had mentioned that probably there could be a product with lower surrender charges specifically created for the purpose across categories. Could there have been a middle path?
So the regulator through the guidelines is saying that insurers are free to create a product where the surrender values can be higher. So for example, I have a product which you pay me, say, in my Nishchit plan, you pay me. Now, that has a particular structure for what surrender value you will get in year one, year two, year three, year five, and so on and so forth. But then the IRR of that product for the 40-year period or 35-year period, maybe, say, 6% or 6.25%. We can create alternate forms where we can tell the customer, I have a variant of the same product where your IRR may not be 6.25 or 6.5. Maybe your IRR will be 5.25%, but if your surrender values in the initial years is 40-50%, this product can have your surrender values as 70-80%. But whilst I have made the product on surrender value better, my worry, Preeti, is what have you invested in me for? you have invested in me for getting a better surrender value, then I don't know whether you've invested in the right product category. Ideally, why should surrender value not give principal back? Yeah. If you want principal back, then you have to get into investment horizons of either CASA, which is liquid, whole money can be removed, your rate will be 3-3.5%, or you could put in a 1-year fixed deposit, your interest rate will change, but your money will principal will come back. So we have a similar product on fixed maturity plan, which is a 5-year equivalent to a 5-year fixed deposit. Mm-hmm. Now that product has surrender value of 100% from day one.
Okay.
But it is a 5-year product. It doesn't take care of insurance requirements people buy for taking care of their requirements for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Now we've created an alternate product like this, which is 5 years. That product has a surrender value of 100% from day one.
Okay.
Now those options can be created, but it will come at the cost of A, lower return to the customer. And B, is that what you want to buy insurance for? I mean, constantly I get this question to say, how do I compare a ULIP and say I compare a mutual fund? People often think that, you know, ULIPs are costlier, mutual funds are cheaper. And I don't think the perspective is right or wrong unless you have a time frame or a horizon of investment. What does the ULIP give you? It says, you give me 1 lakh rupees, I will still give you 10 times cover of that from day one. Which means if anything unforeseen happens to you in year two or year three, you will actually get 10 lakh rupees back. And the same thing you put in the mutual fund, obviously you'll get your 1 lakh rupees back or 2 lakh rupees back if you're going to do a yearly SIP. So initially, because of mortality, there is a higher cost. There could be different distribution costs between ULIP and mutual fund. But if you have a time frame is of 2 years and 3 years, then I think you're buying a wrong product. But if your time frame is of investment period of 8 years, which is what a ULIP does, then the cost will be comparable. All the mortality costs will go away because the fund value would have acquired significant value to take care of your mortality. It will be as cost efficient as a mutual fund. And of course, if you look at any 10-year returns on equity markets, they are phenomenally good on 10-year basis.
Right.
So if you start comparing ULIP and a mutual fund without the time frame being decided, if you want to stay invested for 10 years, I'm saying ULIP is a great product. But if you want to be invested shortly only for 2 years or 3 years, then you better put money in mutual fund and not necessarily in a ULIP product. I'm just trying to use an example to drive the difference between them.
But sir, the other concern, the big concern is fair enough, people should invest or should buy insurance policies only from the long-term perspective. But the fact is, on the ground, a lot of people, the lapsation rates are very high. So although it's a long-term policy, many people simply exit after 5 years. So that is also a problem at hand, right? That insurers also will have to tackle?
Not really. I mean, if you look at, people only track persistency. If you look at over the last 2 or 3 years or 3 or 4 years where a lot of guarantee products are being offered to people in the market, actually the persistency of that is as high as 93-94%.
Okay.
Because you have locked in a higher interest rate benefit for a longer period of time. Where the persistency suffers is if you have market-linked product. And see, this is where the problem is, that you bought a market-linked product, which is like a ULIP, there the persistency could be, you know, 82%. And that is what people have to understand, that if you're actually buying a market-linked product in insurance, you should actually buy it for a longer period of time because you actually get the benefit only if you are stay invested longer. But what you don't measure or what people don't measure is people get reduced paid up benefits. So people pay X number of premiums and assuming they stop paying premiums, then it's not that the policy goes away because now the regulator has made sure that even if the second premium has come in, then some surrender value gets attained for sure. And that stays as a reduced paid up benefit over the life of the entire contract, over the life of the entire policy. But it is still not persistent, right? Because he's not paying regular premiums.
So is considered as a surrendered policy or a lapsed policy.
It is lapsed, but the customer is still with the life insurance company. He's not persistent. He's lapsed. His benefits, depending on the product that he has bought, may change, depending on which product he's buying from which company. But he's not gone away. He's not taken the money back. So he may enjoy lower benefits than somebody who's paid all the premium. But he still gets his benefit if he stays invested for the policy term period. And that doesn't get added to, you know, persistency. So it doesn't mean that if 90% people are persistent, then the balance 10 take their money away. That's not really true. Some of them can continue in a reduced paid up status for a long period of time.
And coming to Bima Sugam, now Bima Sugam is said to be a reality soon. So from the policyholder's perspective, how does this help them? Any chance that it will bring down distribution costs for insurers, and in turn that benefit can be passed on to policyholders in future?
So Bima Sugam, you know what, it'll be called Rashtriya Bima Sugam Nigam now, has huge benefits. Because, you know, a lot of people, I mean, I don't know whether you ever bought a policy at 30, you know, when everybody pushes you to buy a policy for tax benefit and you buy a policy, through the period of time, you realize that what you bought is not good enough. So you buy the right size policy. So India has a problem of people who buy insurance and the ones who buy insurance, whether they've bought adequate insurance or no. When the platform like Bima Sugam comes in, it will allow a customer with his one customer ID to be able to see all his policies together, which today is not possible. I mean, it's like one aggregation that you'll get across everything that you have invested across different life insurance companies. Insurers will be able to use the platform for, you know, if I get data today from IIB on life insurance customers having bought life insurance independently for my underwriting, I will now be able to get data even from his, the same customer's health insurance details or general insurance details. Because, you know, how do you do risk assessment? If the guy has taken care of his car well and he's never banged his car and never claimed insurance, that profile is very different from a guy who drives his car and, you know, always has regular every year claims or 2-3 claims in a year and so on and so forth. So I think the efficiency for the life insurance companies will get better. Standard products will get created from sales point of view. So one of the thought processes, can you create a common product for a minimal amount of life insurance, health insurance and property insurance, which is the intention of Bima Vistar. And when that gets hosted on that platform, I'm saying you choose then a life insurance company or any insurance company based on your comfort with that company on service. But the price would have got discovered, which would be very efficient. At some point of time, sales of all the life insurance companies will start happening on that platform, which means the customer will get a choice of which platform he wants to buy it from, whether he wants to buy it directly. Of course, even advisors will be on this platform. So he wants to buy through an advisor, he wants to buy directly. There'll be a price difference between the two. And like you said, rightly, the cost of buying it directly, like how it happens in mutual funds today, whether you want to buy a direct plan or you want to buy a plan through an advisor, those kind of things will start coming in over the lifetime of Bima Sugam's launch.
And if we were to talk about term insurance, do you expect any industry-wide hike next year, that is 24-25? What is the situation like?
I have been rooting with all the reinsurers to say whether they can bring the price down because the cost of protection went up 1.5 years back post-COVID. Right. Both for group term insurance plans as well as individual term insurance plans. Group term insurance is where your company buys for you, you know, a particular value of your CTC as cover. And those are annual plans. They get renewed every year. During COVID time, that price went up significantly, but they have now all come down to pre-COVID levels already. So in shorter duration protection plans, rates have come back to pre-COVID. But the longer duration ones, whatever rates had been increased by reinsurers, that price is still holding. And we are of the view that, you know, post-COVID, the health awareness, consciousness and all that stuff has gone up significantly. Of course, the reinsurer's argument is that, you know, protection was available significantly cheap in India as compared to good parts of Asia as well as a good part of the developed world. So therefore, there was a need for that price to go up slightly, which I don't think I have a large disagreement with. But based on the fact that COVID has gone completely and health consciousness has gone up, we are hoping as reinsurers look at their claims data, there could be an opportunity where price could change. I don't see any risk of price going up is my limited point. But I'm not very sure when will price start looking down. I don't have an answer on that.
And did COVID, has that led to any long-term changes in your underwriting policy? What has been the long-term impact, or what will be the long-term impact of COVID on your underwriting policy?
Actually, COVID has not had an impact on underwriting policy. During the period of COVID, digitization was very important. Whether it was in the sales process that we digitized, because today we don't collect a single app. I mean, we don't have any concept of all an application form for buying a life insurance policy. So COVID helped us do a documentation paper. It also helped us to automate our underwriting processes. So today, pre-COVID, we used to do 30-40% of our underwriting used to be automated. Balance used to be manual. Post-COVID, we already at about 65-70% of our underwriting is automated. And we are hoping that number will only keep going up, because today data is much more available. IAB, which is a data repository, is available in a significantly better shape and size. By that logic, things have become significantly better. No underwriting norms have changed on account of that.
No changes to mortality or morbidity assumptions that you had to make because of long COVID or other issues?
In life insurance, no, Preeti. I think the models in health insurance, we have got little impacted because post-impacts of COVID have had still lingering for people with hospitalization requirement or health requirement. But all of it converting to essential death is not statistically relevant as yet.
That's so no change. Okay. And coming to your company, what is your current product mix, and which are the categories where you plan to focus on in 24-25?
So we've been conscious to keep our traditional mix at about 79-80%, and our ULIP mix is roughly at about 20%. ULIP mix for the year has gone up slightly because, of course, the market has delivered a good return, 20% plus return last whole year. And therefore, there is an attraction for ULIP-based products. But from an overall financial health point of view, we always wanted to have a 20% on market-linked and 80% on traditional. The new areas that we are looking at, we want to get our protection business up. Post-COVID, we used to do 8-9%. Pre-COVID, we used to do 8-9% of protection. That number has become half. We want to take protection back to 9-10% levels. That will be our big intention next year. We want to look at annuity as a segment. I think Indians are reasonably underinvested in the annuity space. So we have some good products. Annuity used to be about 2-3% of our business. As I speak this year, it will be about 6%. And we want that to go up to double-digit numbers in the next 1 or 2 years kind of time frame. So that's going to be a big area of focus. The new product regulation allows us to do index-linked annuities. The guidelines have just come out, and of course, we got to apply our head in terms of what it means. We've been, as an industry, asking the regulator for allowing us to do index-linked products because today all loans are linked to the 10-year G-Sec. There are deposits which are linked to external benchmarks. So we also wanted to create products where the benefit could be linked to an external benchmark. So there is transparency to the customer. At the same point of time, there is not as much interest rate risk that the life insurance company carries. So we will evaluate that. But annuity as a category is something that we want to grow. So this is clearly our focus for next year.
All right. And what would be your premium growth target for next year?
So basically, over the last 2 or 3 years time frame, this company has grown at 20% plus. This year, our growth rates are more in the range of 10-11% because this is the year in which the transition happened for greater than 5 lakh business no longer getting the benefit that they used to get in the past. So we've had some loss of business on account of that. Our number of policies has grown by 20%, but we've lost business in the greater than 5 lakhs category by about 10%. And that's how our growth in value terms has been about 10%. Our objective is that in the next 3 years, we want to double the size of the premium from where we are, which would require us to grow at about anywhere between 25 to 30% every year for the next 3 years. And that's our stated intention, that we want to minimum double our business in the next 3 years from where we are this year.
All right, Mr. Rao, thanks a lot for being a part of our show. And I'm sure our listeners will find your insights useful. Thank you so much.
with that, it's a wrap on this episode of Simply Save. For more news, views and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.